Praise the Lord. I welcome you to our Tuesday Leaders Development Session tonight. And I pray that the Lord will open our eyes to see and to behold great things he has reserved for each of us in Jesus' name. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this moment. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you, Lord, because we know your word has a lot of good things for every one of us. Strengthen each one, Lord. Empower each one more so that this work you have given us to do will prosper in every hand. But thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight, as we come to the study of the Word of God, a message that Christ himself is sending to us to make us stronger, more visionary in the work he has given to our hands. We're looking at a number of Psalms, actually six Psalms tonight. Psalms 25, 26, 27. 28, 29, and 30. As we look through everything, there's something that comes out very clearly. One, the grace, the gifts of God. Two, the goodness and the riches of his kindness, loving kindness unto us. Three, the guidance he gives us. And he prepares everything for everyone. He has portion for sinners. He has portion for saints. He has portion for the servants and the stewards of the mysteries of the gospel. That means then the Lord is good unto all. His loving kindness is for everyone, sinners, saints, and servants of God. For us who are the servants of God, leaders in the kingdom of God, tonight we title the message, Grace, Goodness and Guidance for Godly Servants. Let's look at the first verse of Psalm 25. It says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, in prayer, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, in expectation, do I lift up my soul. Unto you, O Lord, in faith, do I lift up my soul? We're looking now at Psalm 30 and the very last verse in Psalm 30. As we come to the last verse of Psalm 30, look at what the Lord is telling us. He says to the end, that my glory may sing praise to thee. When you go through all these Psalms, 25, and then you come to the last one we're looking at today, Psalm 30, it says, to the end for the purpose. The reason why I'm having more understanding of the grace of God, of the goodness of God, of the guidance of God, of the gifts of God, is so that my glory may sing praise unto the Lord. And not be silent, O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. I'll give thanks unto you, keep giving thanks unto you until the very end and even beyond the end of this life forever and ever. There are three things we're looking at as we look at the Psalms today. Number one, divine guidance through the wilderness to the promised land. You remember the children of Israel? They were going to the promised land. And then that means you and I were going to the promised land. In this world, the world is like a wilderness. And he gives us guidance like he gave the children of Israel, like the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud that went with them. The Lord has promised us too. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He will be with us and he'll be guiding us in the way, divine guidance through the wilderness to the promised land. Number two, desired goodness while waiting with a prayerful look. It says, look unto the Lord, look unto me, all ye the ends of the earth, and be saved. There is no other God. This is the Creator. This is the Redeemer. This is the Helper. This is the Lord our Shepherd, the Shepherd our Lord. And because He has everything for us, we're looking on Him. It's a prayerful look, and we're waiting on the Lord. And they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And all the goodness of the grace of God, of the power of God, of the possibilities in God we need, He gives us as we desire His goodness. While we wait for on the Lord, with a prayerful look. Number three, dedicated gifts from worshippers to the providing Lord. He provides for every one of our needs. And because He provides for us, we worship Him and we honor Him and we serve Him. And as we worship and serve Him, He gives to us, and we give to Him of all that He has given unto us. Now we come to point number one. It's divine guidance through the wilderness to the promised land. We're coming to Psalm 25, reading from verse 1. It says in verse 1, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. And then it tells us in verse 4 of this same psalm, it says, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. The paths I need to walk in, the path of grace, and the path of your goodness, and the path of godliness, and the path of righteousness. If you don't teach me, I will not know. Teach me thy paths. And then it says in verse 5, it tells us, lead me in thy truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You will know the truth, and the truth will keep you free. It makes us free. And He also keeps us free. He says, it is by the truth. Lead me, guide me, teach me in thy truth. And teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. There's a personal testimony there. Sins forgiven. The joy of salvation is given. The evidence of salvation is already given. And it says, thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. There is no moment, there is no time when I'm not looking up to the Lord for guidance and for leading every way. Look at verse 9. In verse 9 it says, the meek will He guide in judgment. Those who are meek, and those who know that they cannot guide themselves, they say, this world is so wide, and there is no roadmap by which I can get to my destination. And I am meek, I'm depending, trusting the Lord. The meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way. It tells us in verse 12, and in verse 12 it says, what man is he that feareth the Lord, that honors the Lord, that has a filial fear, respectful fear unto the Lord? Him shall He teach in the way that He shall choose. That's talking about guidance. He guides us. He leads us. And because He guides us and He leads us, He guides us into the path of righteousness and into the path of the goodness of God in our lives. It tells us in verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. The secret of the Lord is for them that fear Him. The people who go through this life and they do not know the mind of God, the purpose of God, the plan of God, the decisions of God. There are people in ministry. There are people who claim to be serving the Lord. They are blank. What's the mind of God? They are blank. What's the project God wants to carry out? They are blank. What's the thing God wants to do and accomplish in their lives? And in the congregation, they are blank. But when we love the Lord, when we have reverential fear for the Lord, it says the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. We're coming to Psalm 26, verse 1. In Psalm 26, verse 1, judge me, examine me, and try me, O Lord. Evaluate me, O Lord. Am I concentrating on the Lord? Am I looking unto the Lord? Or do I have another another God, and it says, many sorrows shall be to the people that have another God. Examine me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Therefore, I shall not fall. Therefore, I shall not backslide. It tells us in verse 11 of that Psalm 26, but as for me, I will walk in my integrity. That's how the Lord will keep on guiding us. That's how the Lord will keep on leading us. It says, as for me, whatever others do, as for me, whatever path others are walking in, as for me, whatever decision or direction other people are taking, as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. Let's look at three things. Number one, total trust in God for his perpetual loving kindness. Total trust in God because of his perpetual, unfailing, continuing, loving kindness. Look at Psalm 25 again, reading from verses 1 and 2. It says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul? Then in verse 2, it tells us, O my God, I trust in thee with all the heart. I trust in thee with all my soul, all my spirit. I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Complete trust in the Lord. Coming to the Lord in salvation, we trust him. We're not trusting in ourselves. I can save myself. I can keep myself cleaner. I can keep myself holy. I can keep myself through life. Or maybe other people around can help me and save me. No, I trust in thee. For salvation, I trust in thee. For my holy life and progressive life, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed before the devil. Let me not be ashamed. And before the watching world, let me not be ashamed. And before all the Amalekites in the wilderness and all the people of Moab in the wilderness, as I'm going on to the promised land, let me not be ashamed. And before my neighbors and before everyone, let not anything happen to my spirit, to my soul, and to my body that will make me ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. It tells us in verse 5, and in verse 5 it says, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day for triumph and victory. On thee do I wait all the day to accomplish everything you have given me to do for the day and for life and for ministry. On thee do I wait all the day. It tells us in verse 6, it says in verse 6, it tells us, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses. That's why he says he trusts in the loving kindness of the Lord. Total trust, complete trust in God for his perpetual loving kindness. It says, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. They have been ever of old. Remember, in the past, it says, I am God, I change not. He had mercy upon the children of Israel, and anyone that looks up to him, he has mercy on them. And to the present time, the loving kindness of the Lord is there. You know, that's a combination of two words, love, that is so deep and so wide and so broad that covers everyone, and then kindness that is so deep and universal that covers everyone. And when you bring the love and the kindness together, you bring the mercy and the love together, you bring the graciousness of the gifts of God together, the loving kindness of God, and they're perpetual. There's no time in your life when that love will not flow into your life. Just look up to him with absolute trust and with total trust and with complete trust. Perpetually, he will pour his love, his kindness, his mercy, his grace upon you. Look at Psalm 26 and verse 3. In Psalm 26, looking at verse 3, it says, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. It says, I don't look at difficulties. I trust in your loving kindness. I don't look at challenges. I trust in your loving kindness, because thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. In Psalm 143, verse 8, Psalm 143, looking at verse 8, is still talking about the loving kindness of God. Look at this. It says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness, words of love. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness and the promise of your kindness. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For indeed do I trust. We trust completely. We trust absolutely in that loving kindness of the Lord. You wake up in the morning and then you hear the voice of the Lord. You read your Bible, you have your quiet time, you have your family devotion, and you hear the love of God reaching out to you and talking to you, and the kindness of God and the grace of God coming to you from the morning. And then when you go through the day, you are in the loving kindness of the Lord. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Now, apart from the trust we have, on top of the trust we have, beyond the trust we have, what's of his teaching? This leads us to the second session here, through teaching and guidance for a profitable life. He gives us teaching, and it is through teaching. You see, the people of the world, there are many schools of thoughts, and there are many kinds of people, many groups and communities of people, and they may say they teach, but they teach the way of error. And the way that they teach, what will lead us into more problems. But you know, when the Lord teaches us, he teaches us and he guides us unto a profitable life. That's why you should, I'm sure you surrendered your life to the Lord completely, and you're not taking any part of your life away from the Lord. You see, there are people, they divide themselves into spirit, soul, and body. Their spirit, they say, they give to the Lord. And then their soul, they give to, you know, people, psychologists or whatever. And then their body, they give into the hands of man. But the total man that trusts the Lord wants to help you as a total man. And he gives you true teaching that will affect your soul, that will affect your spirit, that will affect your body. And then the total man is moving on to a profitable life. It tells us in Psalm 25, looking at verse 4, it says, show me thy way. What can you see of somebody if he doesn't show you? If somebody does not show you his plan, if somebody does not show you the path he wants to walk in and the path you ought to walk in, how will you see what is not shown unto you? But the psalmist is saying, show me. That's how we ought to pray. Show me. That's how we ought to tell the Lord, make a request before the Lord, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. And then it tells us in verse 5, it tells us in verse 5, it says, lead me in thy truth. I don't want to get into error. Error comes from Satan. Falsehood comes from Satan. And deception comes from Satan. And I don't want to lead my life by the lies of the community, by the lies of friends, by the lies of enemies, by the lies I read, by the lies and deception I hear. If you lead your life, if you take your decisions on the basis of the falsehood coming in from the devil through society unto you, are you going to make it to the promised land? But it says, lead me in thy truth. And teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. It says, I won't take a step until I have your teaching. I have your enlightenment. I have the knowledge of the holy. I have the knowledge of God. I want him to lead me in his truth. When a decision is to be taken, when a path is to be followed, I'm going to wait all the day. I'm going to wait until there's no hurry. Or you just let's do something. Just let's decide something. We need to move on now. Are you going to move on without knowing the way you ought to go? on thee do I wait all the day until that inspiration will come, until that direction will come, until that teaching of the Lord will come. I'm waiting for him. Look at verse 9 again. In verse 9 it says, the meek will he guide. When we're meek and we say, Lord, what do I know? I know nothing as I ought to know. What do I know? I see nothing as I ought to see. What do I know? I'm a child of yesterday. I'm a creature of yesterday. I'm just a human being. And who knows tomorrow? When you are meek like that and you are humble like that, it says the meek, the humble, the lowly, the submissive, will he guide in judgment. That judgment just means indecision. When you judge a situation, this is right, this is not right, this is good, this is not good, that judgment is decision. So yeah, that word judgment there means decision. The meek will he guide in decision. Of course, in judgment you, you are a leader. And as a leader, this one comes to you and he says this. Have you noticed? The first person to talk to you about a case appears to be right, because he talks about it convincingly. Any other person that comes after that, when he says his own, the first one that spoke is still ringing in your mind. And if the Lord does not teach you in counseling, if the Lord does not enlighten you in judgment and taking decision, you'll go astray. But if you're meek and say, Lord, I know nothing, I cannot judge right, I depend only on you, your spirit must guide me, the meek will he guide in judgment, the meek will he teach his way. And then he tells us there in verse 12, it says, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he should choose. Him shall he teach in the plan that he shall choose. Him shall he teach in the person that he shall choose. Him shall he teach in the relationship that he ought to choose. You see, and there are people, they just go through life. They want this friend, they choose a friend. If somebody knows how to smile, they choose that person. If somebody knows how to lay his case bare before them, they choose the person. They want a prayer partner, they want a kind of business partner, and they want just a friend to go through life with, or they want a wife, or they want a husband. They just choose by the look of the face. But when you are meek before the Lord, it says, him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. It tells us in verse 14, it says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. The secret of the Lord. He has all the secret there is to know about any man, any woman, about any woman, or about any man, and about any brother, any sister, about anything that takes place on earth. The Lord has all the secret. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he shall show them his covenant. Why? What's the purpose? Why does he guide us? Why does he lead us? Why does he show us the way we ought to walk? Look at Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17. Isaiah chapter 48, reading from verse 17. It tells us of the reason why thus says the Lord, thy Redeemer. Is he your Redeemer? You are born again and you still have the assurance. You are standing. You have not backslidden. He says, thus says the Lord, thy Redeemer. If the Lord is your Redeemer, he's speaking to you. And he says, thus says the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Look at this. I am the Lord, thy God. You have a relationship with him. I am the Lord, thy God. You are saved and you are keeping saved. I am the Lord, thy God. You have the promised presence of the Lord with you, and that promised presence is still there. I am the Lord, thy God, which teaches thee to profit. That's the reason he teaches us. That's the reason he guides us. That's the reason he leads us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. It says, I am the Lord, which teaches thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. That's the privilege we have as children of God, the true teaching and guidance for a profitable life. It tells us in verse 18, it says, oh, that thou art hearkening to my commandments as I led you. And I said, go this way, don't go that way, move forward at this time now. And then if you are not complaining and say, how can I move forward at this time? This is not the time to. We never argue with God. Oh, that thou art hearkening to my commandments, then at thy peace being as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Now, the psalmist is going to give testimony, just like you ought to give testimony to have testimony. Look at this in Psalm 26, because it's been taught by the Lord. Psalm 26, I'm reading from verse 1, the testimony of a person who had been taught by the Lord, who had been directed by the Lord, who had been controlled by the Lord, who had been guided by the Lord, and is moving in the direction the Lord had guided him, the testimony of godliness in a polluted land, the testimony of the goodness of God. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. That's the testimony. I have trusted, that's the testimony also, in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Look at verse 2. It tells us in verse 2, examine me, O Lord, and prove me, try my reins and my heart. He said, there's nothing hidden in my reins, in my thoughts, in my heart, in the corner of my soul, that I'm not willing for you to know. Try me, examine me, and prove me. And then he tells us in verse 3, it says, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes all the time. That's my testimony. And because of that, hear my testimony, I have walked in thy truth. Saying that before the Lord means the man was certain and sure. He said, I've been walking and I keep on walking in the truth of the Lord. And then in verse 4, it says, I have not sat with vain persons, purposeless people, passive people, the people who have nowhere to go, vain people, from morning till night. All they are talking about is vanity. All they are thinking about is vanity. All they are planning is vanity. They do not have a destination that is positive and powerful and progressive and profitable to go. And I will not sit with them. Here is my testimony. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. And then in verse 5, it tells us, I have hated the congregation of evildoers. That congregation may be two people, the congregation of evildoers. They may be a gang, they may be a group, whatever they are, and they may be people who have sworn that this is what they're going to do in life. The congregation of evildoers. This is my testimony. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will not attend their meeting. I will not sit with them. I will not plan with them, because I've given my spirit, my soul, my body, my life, my present, my future. I've given that to the hands of the Lord. I will not even sit with the wicked. I come out from among them, and I'm a child of God, a son and a daughter to the Lord. In verse 6, it tells us in verse 6, I will wash my hands in innocency. I'm going to be innocent from every crime in the land. I'm going to be innocent from every corruption in the office. I'm going to be innocent from all the magical and the deadly things that are done. I wash my hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord. I come with a pure motive. I come with a pure life, and I will compass your altar, because I'm innocent from the sins and the presumption in the land. In verse 7, it says, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving, my voice will not be polluted, my voice will not be corrupted, and Satan will not affect even my thoughts and my heart, so that I will publish your goodness and your kindness with thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. In verse 8, it tells us, Lord, I have loved, here is testimony, I have loved the habitation of thine house. I'm not giving any excuse why I'm not there for Sunday service. I'm not saying, of course, I can access the message from this and all alone be by myself and not be in the house of God, the place where thine honor dwelleth. He says, I have a testimony and everybody knows because they see me, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. And then in verse 9, it says, gather not my soul with sinners. I will not sit with them. Don't group me with them. I will not talk with them. I will not plan with them. I will not sit in the seat of the scorner. I will not walk in the way of the sinner. Therefore, gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men. In verse 10, it tells us in verse 10, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. It tells us in verse 11 now, but as for me, whatever others do, others may, but I will not. Whatever others do, wherever others go, whatever other people practice, I'm going to distinguish myself, except so. I'm going to distinguish myself, a sanctified servant of God. I'm going to distinguish myself, a person that has got the redemption of the Lord, that has got the cleansing of the blood of the Lamb, a person that is standing firm and standing straight with integrity and like an integral number, a whole man, a whole number. It says, as for me, I will walk in my integrity, redeem me and be merciful unto me. And then he tells us in verse 12, my foot standeth in an even place. That he says, that's why I'm not sleeping. That's why I'm not walking the slippery path. That's why I'm not cutting corners or doing evil. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. Let's come to point number two now. In point number two, we're looking at desired goodness while waiting with a prayerful look. We're looking up to the Lord. And as we're looking up to the Lord, we are waiting on him in prayer, and sometimes we also fast and we're waiting upon the Lord. Look at Psalm 27, reading from verse 13. It says, I had fainted. That means I would have fainted. I would have been forgotten unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It says, I'm living by faith. I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It said, if I looked around and I saw the things around me, if I looked around and I thought about the inconsistencies around me, if I looked around and I see the pressures around me, I would have fainted. But because I believe to see the goodness of the Lord, because I believe to see the purpose of his calling, and to see the power of consecration, and to see all that he has promised me, because I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, that's why I'm not fainting. And then he passes it to you and to me. Look at verse 14. It says, wait on the Lord. He's saying, that's what I did. That's why my life is straight. That's why there's integrity. That's why there is purpose for living. That's why there is power for living. He says, I've tried it. I've got it. I've experienced it. I'm passing it unto you. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. He's talking from experience. He's talking from what he himself had got and what he had tasted. He said, if you wait on the Lord, I did that, and this is what I add. I add courage, and you will be of good courage, and it shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And we're looking at three things here. The courage of faith in steadfast believers, steadfast saints of God, steadfast servants of God. They are not moving here and there. They are not jolted, and they are not taken by surprise, and because of that, they are fearful. These are people who are steadfast as believers. They are steadfast as saints of God. They are steadfast as worshipers of the living God. They are steadfast as servants of God. The courage of faith is steadfast believers. We're looking at Psalm 27, reading from verse 1. Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light, is in the present tense my light. When I came out of darkness and I came to the Lord Jesus as my Savior, He became my light. The light of the world became my personal light and my salvation. Light and salvation, salvation and light is mine. I have that testimony of the Spirit of God that I am saved. Look at this. When He saved me for a purpose. And He will watch over that purpose, and no Satan, no spirit, and no society, no sinner will derail that purpose of the Lord. Therefore, He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. That tells you why some people are not stronger. They're not looking up to the Lord, the strength of our life. That tells you why some people are always weak and they are bent low and their shoulders are down and there's no courage in their mind, in their spirit. But He says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Well, you can ask the question too, and you can ask yourself, the Lord is there. And then a personality, human being, a man, a woman of yesterday that may not see tomorrow is there on the other side. And while you're looking at the Lord who says, is the lion of the tribe of Judah, you're afraid of him, of mere man, mere human being, the man of God here. The psalmist said, the Lord is, not was, not will be by and by, but today in this present situation, the Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Look at verse 2. It says in verse 2, it said, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh. That's what they thought they will do. They want to take a pouch of flesh. They want to retaliate, and they want to put a deadly pressure on him. He said, they came, and their intention, my foes, they came to eat up my flesh, but they stumbled. They have to. And they fail, they have to, because God has a purpose for his life, and God has a purpose for your life. In verse 3, he tells us in verse 3, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Fear comes from the heart. It's not what you see, fear comes from the heart. It's not the sound you hear, fear comes from the heart. Once the heart is shifted away from the focus of the Lord, there will be fear. But now he says, I don't see the host that encamp against me. Like Elisha, I don't see that host. I see what my servant does not see. Hey, alas, my father, what shall we do? Because of the Assyrians and soldiers around him. And he said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of that servant of Elisha, and he saw chariots of fire around him. The same thing when you have that sight, spiritual sight, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. No war shall rise against me. War shall rise against me. He's talking about war that is personal, war that is local, war that may even be national, everything rising up against him. You know, some people cannot breathe. Some people lose their breath. Some people lose their lives. Some people lose their stamina, and they lose their courage, and they lose everything when a little problem arises. There's not even one now. A little battle, a little conflict arises by one person, by two people, by three people, and then they are lost. They don't know what they're going to do. But the man of God here said, "Don't wash your eyes against me, that even is of national level. In this will I be confident." He said, why? In verse 4, he says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." That's why the Lord was watching after him. That's why the Lord is watching over you. Because if all the people that should be in the house of the Lord, if they are destroyed by calamities, if they are destroyed by conflicts, if they are destroyed by local, national wars or whatever, who will appear in the house of the Lord? He said, the uppermost thing in my heart, the priority of my life, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after. Whatever is happening, rain is falling, sun is shining, storm is rising up, a war is rising up against me. It says one thing, only one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. If you have that supreme purpose for living, to dwell in the house of the Lord and to do the work of God, He must preserve you, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. If that's your desire, He's going to take care of you, and you will not fear. Fear will be erased from your heart. Look at this in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, I'm reading from verse 5. It says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness." Let your conversation be without a kind of opposition. Be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, look at what he has said. He has said, he has promised, and his promise will always be fulfilled. He has said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake thee. So, in verse 6, it says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Look at it again, present tense today, the Lord is my helper. The Lord will not hinder you. And if the Lord does not hinder you, nothing that tries to hinder you will succeed. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is the one upholding me. The one is the one that is moving me on to success and to progress. The Lord is the one that stands by my side so that I will fulfill the goal he has raised me up for, and you will fulfill the goal he has raised you up for. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. It's a decision of your heart. I will not fear. It's something you have to make up your mind. When you say, I will not, that's personal. You say, whatever is happening, because the Lord is my helper, because the Lord is my redeemer, because the Lord is my supporter, because the Lord is my sustainer, because the faithful Lord who cannot fail, the Lord who is most powerful, almighty, is by my side, because the Lord is my Savior, because the Lord is my shepherd, because the Lord has a purpose for me, and that purpose will be fulfilled, must be fulfilled, no matter what happens, the Lord is my helper. Because of that, here is the decision and the confirmation and the confidence of my heart. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. That leads to the second consideration. There is the confidence of faith. There is the courage of faith, and there is the confidence of faith in sanctified believers. Let's come to Psalm 27. We're looking at verse 8. When thou saidst, Seek ye my face. I know you have a good purpose when you said, seek ye my face. We don't seek the face of God for nothing. He has something he wants to give us. And he says, it's when you seek me and search for me with all your heart, I will give you that expected end. And when thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. That's my commitment, and that is my consecration. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, it says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord whom I have been seeking, then the Lord who is my Savior, then the Lord who is my shepherd, then the Lord who is my supplier, the Lord who is my sufficiency, then the Lord will take me up. The Lord takes us up, and the Lord helps us because we make him all in all. His Savior, his sin bearer, is the final sacrifice, and he is a shepherd, he is a supplier, he is a sustainer. And so if earthly help fails, and if earthly father, earthly mother, if they forsake us, it says, then the Lord, who is my all in all, shall take me up. It says, that's why I wait on the Lord. And it says in verse 14, he now gives it to you and to me, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. You know, when people have problems, that's the time they ought to wait on the Lord. When they're weak, that's when they ought to wait on the Lord. When it appears they are suffocated by problems, they cannot even breathe, that's when we ought to wait on the Lord. But you know the experience of the general man, even of the average believer, of the average member of the church, when there's problem, that's when they cannot wait. They are running here, and as they say, they are running helter-skelter. They are blown by the wind. They are blown by circumstances. When we have challenges, when we have problems, that's the time to stop. That's the time to wait. And that's the time to wait on the Lord so that we can behold his beauty and we can behold his loving kindness and we can tell of his grace, of his goodness, and receive of his guidance again. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Which I say is like, you know, the average person is still running, and there's restlessness in the heart, and there is a sorrow in the heart, and they're looking here and there, and therefore the psalmist said, did you hear what I said? Which I say on the Lord. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, and we're reading here from verse 28. It says in verse 28, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He understands your situation better than anybody on earth can understand. There is no searching of his understanding. He understands the peculiarity of your community, the peculiarity of the pandemic, and the peculiarity of your life, and the peculiarity of your future, and the peculiarity of your person. He understands more than any person can. There is no searching of his understanding. In verse 29, it says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. When the level of your strength, the level of your power, the level of your ability has gone to the bottom of the container, the bottom of the cup, it says, it will run over again, because he giveth power. He giveth power until you are strengthened, until the fainting is taken away. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. He increases strength. He keeps on increasing the strength until you have a strong shoulder that will bear the body. He keeps on increasing the strength until you have a strong backbone that will bear the burden. He says, to them that have no might, before they started waiting on the Lord, no might, no strength, no power, no courage, and then they realize that just one thing I must do, I wait on the Lord. And as they wait on the Lord, power comes. As we are waiting, power comes. As we are waiting, strength comes and increases the power and the strength until you have what it takes to bear the load that you have to carry. It says in verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. There are people that say, I wish I was like a youth again. Even the youth shall faint. I wish I was like a young man, a young woman again. That's not enough. All that is natural. It says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. What's the secret? Verse 31. In verse 31, it says, this is the secret. In verse 31, it says, but they that wait upon the Lord, that's why the psalmist said, wait, I say, on the Lord. It will increase your strength. It will increase your power. Your backbone will be stronger. You need a miracle, He will perform a miracle. A miracle for your soul, a miracle for your spirit, a miracle for your body, a miracle for every part of your life. To take all that mountain away, wait on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint. Let's look at the confession now. The confession of faith by strengthened believers. You have waited upon the Lord according to Psalm 27, and you have looked upon the Lord, and He has strengthened you, and He has given you courage. And now as you come to Psalm 28, here is your confession now, the confession of faith by strengthened believers. Blessed be the Lord, because He has heard the voice of my supplication. While you are waiting upon the Lord, you are not just waiting there and crying. You are not just waiting there and thinking about, what did I do? Why is it only me? Why is this happening to me? Why did that not happen and all that? Am I the only one in this world? I'm the only one having problem. So and so does not have the problem I have. Such and such does not have the load I carry. That's not waiting on the Lord. You are not in the presence of the Lord to mourn and to weep and to cry and to regret and then to say, what am I going to do now? You wait on the Lord, looking at the promises of God. You wait on the Lord, looking at the provision of the Lord. You wait on the Lord, looking at the power and the strength of the Lord. And as you wait on the Lord like that, blessed be the Lord, because He has heard the voice of my supplications. And then in verse 7, it tells us, the Lord is my strength. While I was waiting on the Lord, He increased my strength. While I was waiting on the Lord, He gave me power. And the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted. Here is the confession. Here is the testimony. My heart trusted in Him. I am helped. I am helped. He said, He will be my helper. The Lord is my helper. And therefore will I not fear. He has actually proved Himself. I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices. With my song will I praise Him. Look at verse 8 there. In verse 8, the Lord is their strength. Those are the people that wait on the Lord. He is the saving strength of His anointed. And now in verse 9, He tells us in verse 9, save thy people as You have saved me. Bless thy people. Bless thine inheritance as You have blessed me. Feed them also as You have fed me, and lift them up forever as You have lifted me up. That's our confession, and that is our testimony. We're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're looking at verse 17, the confession of faith by strengthened believers. It tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Here's confession. Well, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Here is testimony. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. You understand that? It's like the Lord abandoned almost every other thing. And he said, this my servant has need of me now. This my servant has need of my strength, of my power, and is waiting on me. And he said, all the people in Asia, they are forsaking me. I couldn't find a human help. He said, but notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. That's what he will do to you when you wait on the Lord. That's the confession you are going to have at last. That's the testimony you are going to have at last. That by me, the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The Lord, in verse, at the top of the verse, the lion at the edge of the verse, and when you compare both, there's no comparison. All the lions in this world, they cannot swallow you up, they cannot crush your bone, they cannot destroy you. Whatever, wherever the forest or wilderness they're coming from, the Lord who stood by him and the Lord who strengthened him delivered him from the mouth of the lion. And look at what he now projects because of what has happened already in verse 18. In verse 18, and the Lord, always the Lord my shepherd, always the Lord my supplier, always the Lord. The Lord, my sustainer, always the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. The people that live their lives in fear, the problems of yesterday, they have not cleared that away from their memory. And the problems of today, that's what they're looking at. And the more they look at the problem, the bigger the problem appears. And then they're even borrowing the worries of tomorrow. And they're thinking, you know, of the challenges of tomorrow. What is going to happen tomorrow? They're borrowing that. The past has not left them. The present is pressing them down. And then the future. But it says, as I look forward, he delivered me in the past. He's delivering me now. He has delivered me now and the Lord in the future. Whatever. Didn't I say the Lord delivered me from the mouth of the lion? Whatever may arise tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, until the end of my life, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. And the people of God said, amen. We're coming to point number three now. In point number three, dedicated gifts from worshipers to the providing Lord. Here is the psalmist now, and the psalmist is saying, what am I going to do now? And the Lord keeps on giving me everything I need for spirit, for soul, for body. The Lord keeps giving me everything I need personal and for the family and for my profession. The Lord keeps on blessing me, and the Lord makes me ready for service today than I was yesterday, as he has given me so much. What am I going to give to the Lord? We come to dedicated gifts from worshipers to the providing Lord. He's been providing for me. I'm now going to give unto him. Look at Psalm 29, verse 1. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Look at verse 2. It says in verse 2, give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And then he tells us in Psalm 30, the last two verses, Psalm 30, verse 11, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and guarded me with gladness. What am I going to do then? Look at verse 12. In verse 12, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give. Oh Lord, my God, I will give. Oh Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. I will give. I will give. I will give. You'll give something unto the Lord out of joy, out of the blessings of God, out of the, it says, it turned my mourning into dancing. I must give unto the Lord. I will give thanks unto thee forever. Number one is the manifold gates for believers from the Lord. He's the one that started that. He's the one that started giving us something. And because he loved us first, that's why we love him. He gave us first. That's why we're giving him. He is the one. He is a great giver. He is the eternal giver. And he is the benevolent giver. He gives us all that we need. Look at Psalm 29 verse 9. The voice of the Lord maketh the heights to calve and discovereth the forest. And in his temple does everyone speak of his glory. In verse 10, it says the Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. And now in verse 11, look at what he has done. The Lord will give strength. The Lord will give sufficiency. The Lord will give power. The Lord will give grace. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. He blesses us with plenty. In fact, look at Psalm 84. We're looking at verse 7. Psalm 84, looking at verse 7, it tells us that they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Every one in Zion appeareth before God. Nobody is staying back. Nobody is absent from the presence of God. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. What does he give as we come to him? Look at verse 11. In verse 11, the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. The Lord will give grace and glory. The grace for salvation. The Lord will give grace and glory. The grace for sanctification, the Lord will give grace and glory. The grace for service, the Lord will give grace and glory. The grace to endure, the Lord will give grace and glory. The sufficiency of his might, of his power, the Lord will give grace and glory. And he brings us to glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Salvation is good. No good thing will he withhold. Sanctification, holiness of heart, no good thing will he withhold. A title to heaven, your name in the book of life in heaven, no good thing will he withhold. Strength and power for the day, and strength and power for everything the Lord has given you to do, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Actually, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things shall be added unto you. He gives everything you need, everything you can think about that you need for life, everything you need for your spiritual life, everything you need to maintain your life, every area of your life, and that eternal life until you get to the Lord in heaven. All these things shall be added unto you. In Romans chapter 8, verse 32, it tells us, Romans chapter 8, verse 32, he that spared not his own son, that's the Father that gave us his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, for you, for me, for everyone. He delivered him up for our salvation. He delivered him up for sanctification. He delivered him up for eternal life. He delivered him up for our abundant life. He delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us How many things there? All things are now available for you. Now, because he gives us all things, out of what he gives us, we now gladly, joyfully, cheerfully give him a part. Look at the second part now, mandated gifts from believers for the Lord. We're looking at Psalm 29, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 29, verses 1 and 2. It says, give unto the Lord. What a commandment. And as a commandment, we joyfully carry out a commandment, a mandate, we joyfully obey. Give unto the Lord. When last did you obey that command? To give the very essence of your life, the power in your life, the strength in your life, even your substance, your money, your tithes and offering. Your pastors pay tithe and offering. Every child of God, if the pastor is a child of God, he pays tithes and offering. Servants of God, children of God, stewards of the mystery of Christ, preachers of the gospel, we give tithes to you. This is a commandment to everyone. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. In verse 2, it tells us in verse 2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. What respect is due to honored men, honorable men and women on earth? You know how to give that respect that is due unto people, how to give that to them? The honor of a father, the honor of a mother, the respect for a teacher, and the respect for people who are high in the world. Here is the Most High. Here is the Lord. Here is God himself. Here is our creator. Here is the one that maintains our lives. Here is the one that gives us everything we need for life and for glory. And he says, then, as we have received from the Lord, give unto the Lord glory, the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. It's not in the beauty of just facial appearance, in the body of an hairdo for women, in the beauty of haircut for men, in the body of a Sunday dress for men or women, in the body of worldly dressing by young people. It says we worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Whatever derails, whatever detracts from the holiness of life and the holiness in the church and the holiness of people around us, whatever will subtract or take anything away from the holiness, gracious holiness of the people of God, if we demonstrate that we're no more worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness. As we come before the Lord, here is what he has commanded. He says we give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name, the gift that is due unto him, and the substance that is due unto him. We give him our heart, we give him our possession, we give him our house, we give him our property, we give him everything he has need of, and we worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let's look at Psalm 96, and we're reading from verse 8. Psalm 96, we're reading from verse 8. It says, give unto the Lord. You see that again? It's repeating that because many people, they hear for the first time and that stingy life is still there. They never give anything to the Lord. The Lord reminds us of the mandate again. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering. Now it's specific. Now it's definite. You are coming to the house of God, or whether you are there, if there's any lockdown in the place where you still live, you bring an offering, you set apart an offering unto the Lord. It's for the Lord. Your tithes and your offering, your gifts and everything you have, it says bring an offering and come into his courts. Then in verse 9, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth, everyone here on earth. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, 1 Peter chapter 2, reading from verse 5, it says, ye also, as lively stones, is talking about believers who have come alive in Christ and come alive in the Lord. Ye as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. We sacrifice as we give. We just don't give what is easy for us or what's, I'm comfortable with that. We give sacrificially. We offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. In verse 9, it tells us in verse 9, but ye, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, and so we give peculiarly, a peculiar people, and so we sing peculiarly, a peculiar people, and so we preach peculiarly, a peculiar people, and so we give ourselves everything we have in a peculiar way, a peculiar people, that he should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Out of darkness into his marvelous light. Because of that, we give and give and give what he has mandated that we give unto him. Number 3 now is the multiplied grace. That means favor. The favor of God in our lives. Multiplied favor, multiplied grace for believers in the Lord. Look at Psalm 30. I'm reading from verse 5. Psalm 30, verse 5. It says, for his anger endureth but for a moment, in his favor. That's grace. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. He shows us favor. He gives us grace. And because of that, joy will come in the morning. And we will not continue in the weeping of the night. As the morning dawns and as the bright and the morning star, as it comes in our life, there will be joy in our life. The joy of his grace and the joy of his favor. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, it tells us, Lord, by thy favor, Lord, by thy favor. That word favor there is the grace of God, is the goodness of God. By thy favor, thou hast made my mountain stand strong. You make my mountain stand stronger. Your feet, you stand on your feet. You are steadfast. You are strong, and your backbone now has strength. And it says, thou hast made my mountain stand strong. Thou did hide thy face, and I was troubled. But now it says, things are better now, and things are different now. Psalm 89, I'm reading from verse 17. The grace of God, the favor of God, for thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor, in thy grace, in thy favor, our horn shall be exalted. He will exalt your horn. He'll exalt everything that is down. He will lift you up. He has given you a promise. He has given us a promise as saints of God, as servants of God, as those who do service in the house of the Lord, and those who do service in the creation of God, that is, in the whole community. We evangelize the world, we edify the church, and he has promised he will give us the glory of his strength. Look at verse 34. In verse 34, he tells us, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Proverbs chapter 3, we're reading from verse 1. In Proverbs chapter 3, we're looking at verse 1, and we're looking at what he has provided for us. My son, forget not my law. That's part of our fearing God our honoring God, our reverencing God. Let thine heart keep my commandments. And then in verse 2, it tells us in verse 2, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. It's telling us how to live long. It's telling us how to live in peace. When the Prince of Peace is our partner all the time, when the Shepherd, the Lord, is with us all the time. And then in verse 3, it says, in verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, and bind them upon thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. In verse 4, he tells us, he says, so shall thou find favor. You'll find favor. You'll find grace, saving faith. You'll find favor. You'll find grace, sanctifying grace. You'll find favor. You'll find sustaining grace, sustaining favor. You'll find grace, sufficient grace. You'll find supernatural grace. It says, give your heart to me. Give all your attention to me. And fear the Lord and reverence the Lord and honor the Lord. So shall thou find grace, favor, and good understanding in the sight of God and of man. In the sight of God, coming from heaven, you'll find grace. And coming from man here on earth, horizontally living with you here, you'll find the grace of God and the favor of God. In verse 5, it tells us in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. While you are waiting on the Lord, trust the Lord with all your heart. Let it be total trust in the God of our salvation. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And then in verse 6, it tells us, in all thy ways acknowledge him from morning till evening. In all thy ways acknowledge him. At home, when you are taking decision, at home, when you are coming out, and in the place of work, as you sit on your desk, and as you are coming back, and on the road, everywhere, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, that he is the strength of your life. He is the salvation of your soul. He is the power behind you. He is your strengthener. And he is the one that gives you courage. And he is the one that gives you wisdom. Everything you have, everything you have obtained here on earth, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy paths. And then in verse 7, we're told in verse 7, be not wise in your own eyes. Now I can do this by myself without the Lord. The Lord said he will not forsake you. Why will you forsake the Lord? The Lord said he will always be with you. Why will you not always be with the Lord? Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Then in verse 8, it tells us in verse 8, it shall be health to thy navel. It shall be health to thy navel. Every part of your body through your navel, everything will go through all the parts of the body, and from the top of the head to the tip of the toe, it will give you health, good health, sustained health, perfect health. Every time he shall be held to thy navel and marrow to thy bones, you'll not dry up. And then in verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance, honor the Lord with your possession. Honor the Lord with your heritage. Honor the Lord with your earnings. Honor the Lord with everything you have. Honor the Lord with your tithes and offering. Honor the Lord with your strength. Honor the Lord with your knowledge. Honor the Lord with your skill. Honor the Lord. Uphold and build up the kingdom of God with everything he has given you. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. What's the result of that? In verse 10, it says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Your life filled with plenty. Your profession filled with plenty, and your spiritual life will be filled with plenty, more than what you desire, more than what you need. It will give you everything. Once again, your cup will run over and keep on running over. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. See what the Lord has revealed to us today. His grace, His goodness and His guidance, because we are godly servants of the Lord. Why don't you rise up now? Thank you, brother. Thank you, sister. Why don't you rise up and let's bring everything we've learned to the Lord in prayer. See all the assurances He has given us, the grace He makes available for us, and the goodness He makes available for us, and the guidance and the teaching and the direction and the leading He makes available for us. He will guide you, divine guidance. He will lead you, divine leading. He will teach you, divine leading. He will show you the way you ought to take. He will show you the path you ought to walk in. He will show you what you need to do, that your life will be profitable, your life will be progressive, and your life will be happy, and your life will bear fruit for the kingdom of God. He guides us when we give Him total trust. There's no part of your heart, no part of your mind, no part of your soul that is not trusting Him. And there's no situation you are not trusting Him. You take everything to the Lord in prayer. Total trust, complete trust. Trusting Him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, because of His perpetual loving kindness. His love will never run dry. Stay at the center of that love. Stay in the circle of that love, in the circle of that kindness. Perpetual loving kindness, that's what's available. Trust Him totally. Trust Him wholeheartedly. Trust Him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Depend upon His teaching, the teaching of His truth, the leading of His Spirit, and it will guide you into all truth. And as you know that truth and abide in that truth and live by that truth, it will make you free, set you free, and fill your heart and fill everything you've got with His personality and with His providence. Total trust, true teaching, and then triumphant testimony of the godly. Triumphant testimony that you're able to testify. He has turned my mourning to dancing. He has turned my sorrow to joy. He has turned my predicament and hindrances. He has given me a breakthrough. He gives us testimony. Tell the Lord the wonders of His grace will be in your life. Don't forget desired, desirable goodness while we're waiting on the Lord. You wait on the Lord, or do you just stay in the midst of the problem? You take time out and wait on the Lord in prayer. Wait on the Lord on His promises. Wait on the Lord with the Bible open before you. And you're going from promise to promise. And you're saying, Lord, this is what You have promised me. Do as Thou hast said. You are not in a hurry. The voices are calling you outside. They want you to come out powerless, come out without strength, come out without goal, come out without stamina, come out without backbone. Stay there in the presence of the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Remember the words of Jesus, you tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Wait, I say, in Jerusalem, for I send the promise of the Father unto you. I send the fulfillment of the promise of Joel unto you. And I send all the provision of the Father unto you, for the promises unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. But He waited before the power of Pentecost came upon them. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And you'll have the confidence, you'll have the courage, you'll have the conviction, And you have the conquering staying power he has promised only soon. The secret is wait on the Lord. And then as you come out of that place of waiting in prayer, there'll be the confidence of faith. You say, now I can climb that mountain. Now I can go that length and I can minister to the people I need to minister to. He has strengthened me. He gives, then you give back. Gives you grace, gives you gifts, gives you of his goodness, gives you of all the provision from Calvary. And as he gives and gives and gives unto you, you also, you shovel back to him, you give unto him. My son, give me your heart, your attention, your affection, your love, your deep desires, everything you have, your passion, your very life. My son, my daughter, give me your heart. And after giving your heart, your heritage, your substance, your property, your skill, everything for the propagation of the gospel, for the progress of the gospel, you give all your skill for the preaching of the gospel, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the evangelization of the world. As Isaiah said, go ye to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and give and offer spiritual sacrifices unto the Lord, and your tithes and your offerings too. Your tithes and your offerings too. The more you give, the more he will give unto you. That's how we know we honor the Lord. That's how we know we remember the Lord. That's how we know we're not just saying, give me, give me, give me, only getting, getting, and not giving. Give of your very best unto the Lord. And as you do, he'll bless you abundantly. And he that spared not his only begotten Son, but he offered him for us, how shall he not with him also give us freely all things? And then we show appreciation and we give back to him in gratitude. Heavenly Father, we thank you today and bless your name. We thank you for the revelation of your word. We thank you because your word is so full. From the beginning of our redemption and from the beginning of our salvation, you have been giving us even before that time. And Lord, in appreciation, with gratitude, with thanksgiving, we offer ourselves once again unto you. And we give ourselves once again unto you to do your will and to serve you according to the mandate you have given us. We're asking, Lord, more grace will come into our lives, more of your goodness will come into our lives, and guidance will come into our lives. We pray, Lord, we'll be rejoicing and birthing in the very depths of your loving kindness all through our lives perpetually in Jesus' name. We're asking, Lord, that we'll trust you with all our heart, trust you with all our soul, trust you with all our mind. We'll not look away from you in all the circumstances of life, in all the challenges of life, where we'll trust you and depend on your teaching and on your guidance in Jesus' name. And as you guide us into all truth, we know that the truth will keep us free and will sustain the freedom you have granted us in our lives, in every area of our lives, in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, as you have always done, put testimony in every mouth, that we too will have the testimony of the psalmist, the testimony of the saints of God, the testimony of the servants of God. We pray, Lord, that Everything you have given us will bear fruit in our lives. Salvation will bear fruit. Your privilege that you have given will bear fruit. Everything we have, everything we have received will bear fruit. And as we give more unto you, you give more and more and more unto us to serve you better in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, you grant us the grace to wait on you once and again, over and over, time and again, waiting upon you. And the benefit of waiting, the benefit of praying, the benefit of praying and fasting, and the benefit of laying ourselves in total consecration on the altar, depending upon your provision and upon your promises, the benefit will be ours every time in Jesus' name. Grant us the grace, sufficient grace, sustaining grace to do your work better. Thank you, Lord, because we know you have answered us. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Thank you, and God bless you.